This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com. From the loosest slots in the state to one of the most comfortable poker rooms in South Florida, enjoy their smoke-free casino at HialeahParkCasino.com.
Good morning, boys and girls, to an abbreviated version of the program. Remember, today we are moving our show to the afternoons, 3 to 6. But some Thursdays we'll pop in, and if there's some stuff that we can talk about and to kind of get things going and get the conversations going, because I know a lot of you want to get some material going from the day before, and so we don't wait till 3 o'clock. So we'll hang out here for a little bit in the studio, and then we'll head out to Hialeah Park, and we'll be out there in the afternoon. Alan Pupar, by the way, will be joining us at 5 o'clock. I'm also trying to schedule another interview, get a little Bills preview for you also this afternoon. So I'm working on that too. So we will have all of that for you. And of course, come on out, man. You can enjoy a cold one. Maybe a little drink specials out there during a happy hour with us from 3 to 6 p.m. So come on by to Hialeah Park, man. We'll be out there having some fun till our daddy takes our T-Bird away. Yes, sir. Let's see. What do we have here that I want to share with you all? And let's see, because, you know, now I have two screens up. Now I have the Cuts channel up, which I see we've got people already on the Cuts channel watching. Miami Broker 305, Adam Sadowski, Eddie Lepp, J-Town, Michael Fernandez, Omar, GP Trap. And then I'm looking at the original channel, the Mother Earth, the mothership that is. Brian Walters is in and Dougie Fresh and stuff. So thank you all out there as always. So we, some of us took the logical approach. I'm sorry. Very few of us took the logical approach with Tua. Most people took the hyperbolic, overreacting approach, all of that kind of stuff, right? We explain to you constantly, this is a guy coming off a hip surgery. It's going to take him a little while to get in a groove. And then we realized that the head coach hated the kid, was against the kid, was practically scheming against the kid, and also was inept because he could not build an offensive staff, and the talent around him was poor. So we pointed out all of those things. We constantly told you there's nothing wrong with Tua. Nothing whatsoever. The only thing wrong with Tua is that he is getting healthier and healthier every week, every month, because as you're removed from hip surgery, you would figure in that second year is when you're really fully, you know, developed and you're back to as close to where you were, you know, knee, elbow, whatever it is that you repaired. You know what I mean? That first year, you're healthy, but you're really not yourself yet. It usually takes that second year. So we constantly told you that he's got to get healthy. And more than anything, he did not have the coaching and he did not have the talent. More than anything else. Okay? Because even last year, he would have played way better if he had Mike McDaniel on the staff. Right? Nobody's going to argue that anymore. So we had a lot of hyperbolic, a lot of crap. It's funny because so the kid's a dynamo in high school and a dynamo in college. He comes off the bench to win the national championship. He's got ice in his veins. All his passes are on target. They lead the receivers, the ball placement, the anticipatory skills, all of that is there. And then you saw it at Alabama. But yet all of a sudden we had tons of people. Oh, he can't throw. He can't do this. He can't do that. All that crap, right? And so, you know, now they're all realizing that they were completely wrong. And you should have trusted your eyes, because that's what I did. I trusted my eyes. I go, this kid's a player. Sure, he has injury history. But outside of that, don't tell me he can't play the game. Watch him. The guy plays the game. He's really good. But what did we get? We got the hyperbolic, and we got everything, right? from being too short to being a weirdo that Omar called him, all that kind of stuff, right? He doesn't want to be a leader, you know, teammates, all that kind of stuff. Well, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but apparently, I don't know, you know, he was the MVP, the Nickelodeon Most Valuable is what he was. And so the Nickelodeon Most Valuable gets an award. And there he is, hugging Xavier. I mean, hugging Tyreek Hill. Yeah, but I thought he was a weirdo. I thought his teammates don't like him or whatever. It's the polar opposite. His teammates love him, man. Ask Sean. He goes into the locker rooms with me every week. C-Man goes into the locker rooms with me every week. So he was there, dude, playing ping pong, joking around with guys, constantly talking with, and I see him talking with different guys. Okay? It's ridiculous. And he was like that at Alabama. You could find video of him, you know, in the back, whether it's in meetings or whatever, behind the scenes, in other words, joking around with teammates, playing his ukulele, whatever, all that kind of stuff. He's a good dude, man. He's a good person. Great person. It's just hilarious to me how people like this can get all kinds of hate. You know what I mean? It's just weird. And I'm glad that we're seeing all this kind of stuff. And again, we have a coach that is allowing us inside. Okay? We had an a-hole here for 2 years that thought he was Bill Belichick. Look, man, you want to act like Bill Belichick? That's fine, bro, but get the results then. You know? You want to act like a tyrant? Well, make sure that your tyrant ways work. And obviously they didn't. You know, because that's the only way the tyrant is even in sports. It's the only way the tyrant is accepted. You have to have the results with it. And every time, whether you're Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia or you're Brian Flores or whatever, you take the attitude with you, but you don't bring everything else. And so you don't allow people to grow. You don't allow people to be themselves. You don't allow people to connect. You don't allow a team to get together to become a team. And there he goes. He gets slimed. And who does he go to? He goes to Tyreek. And he gets slime on Tyreek. You know what I mean? I only have one complaint. Yeah, I got to come up with a complaint about that scene. Yep, I got a complaint. And when I say this complaint, I think 99.99999999999999% of Dolphin fans in the world are going to agree with me on this. I don't want Christian Wilkins part of any celebration whatsoever. People get hurt when Christian Wilkins celebrates. Last couple of weeks, he's had some wicked celebrations. He had one the other day where he just collided with somebody. I forgot what it was. And then another one where he did this elbow thing with somebody else, and somebody that's half his size. And I swear he hit that elbow hard, and I'm going, that guy, like, I don't want to celebrate with Christian Wilkins. You know, I'm afraid he'll get the slime right into his eye, and Tua can't see for like 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Now he's sitting there, and he's, you know, sitting there with Joe Shad, and he can't be on camera. You know what I'm saying? No. I don't want Christian Wilkins anywhere near any kind of celebrations. He doesn't know how to celebrate. His celebrations are just too wicked. I'm telling you, he had a collision the other day. I forgot which one it was. It was Cater, exactly. He almost killed Cater. Like, no, man. No. Christian Wilkins doesn't know how to celebrate. We love you, Christian Wilkins. We love you on the team. You're a fantastic player. You don't know how to celebrate, bro. Se te va a drink, we say in Spanish. Doesn't sound good in English. Unless I want to go The Cure. You're jumping someone else's train. Jumping. No, I don't know. It just gets crazy. Your train gets off the tracks. Kind of that's what it is. That's the Spanish term for your train gets off the tracks. That's the only complaint I have that Christian, you got too close to Tua. And he's too valuable, bro. I'm just being honest. Okay? You know me. We stay with honesty on this show. Billy Shaw says 105 watching, 23 likes. Let's go. Yeah, baby. Come on. 114 there. Let's go. Jack it up. Hit that like button, please. You're watching. You're downloading the show. You're on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or Google Play. Hit that like button, man. Thank you so much on behalf of Sean and Chad and all the great people on this platform and all of our insiders. Thank you all out there for the amazing support that you guys give us. Big O Moxley won. Well, that's just, what can I tell you? That's just wrong. You know? I didn't pick Moxley, right? I went against Moxley. So that's not good. Let's see. What else do we have? Big O, Tua needs Edge energy drink for Sunday. That's what he took in the second half of last week. Just two sips, Big O. What hat did you have on Sunday? What brand? I didn't wear a hat. I did not wear a hat during the game. I'm pretty sure I wore the Dolphin hat. No, maybe I didn't wear a hat in pregame, and then I wore it in postgame. I think it was something like that. I don't think I put on the hat till the game was over. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Your wrestling pick predictions, I think, is now at 500. Well, you know, what can I tell you? They're scripting the wrong winner. I mean, you know, what can I say? You know, I sent in the script on who was supposed to win. They rewrote it. I mean, you know, that's just wrong. They're changing on my scripts here. That's not good. My morning sucked and listened to Max and Keyshawn until Big O came on. Better now. I like Max. I'm not talking about, like, you know, sports or whatever, but personally, I think he's a good dude. I've met him a few times out in Vegas for boxing and all that, and he's a good dude. Whether you agree or disagree with any sports take, it's sports, man. You know, we're going to agree and disagree a whole bunch. So that's the fun part about sports. Let's see. Michael says, Big O, Marcel was on local radio here in Buffalo yesterday. He apparently is still part of the Buffalo Media Fantasy Football Leagues. He's a spy like you thought. LOL, you see? So he's in a Buffalo Media Fantasy Football League? Ah, you see? I told you. See? And I got to tell you, I'm going to have to talk to the media people, okay, over at the Miami Dolphins because, you know, I don't know about letting Marcel into that locker room. You know, he's going to be giving away any kind of secrets he sees. Sees a guy limping or something. He's going to just text it over to the people in Buffalo. I don't know about that. See, he doesn't know that we have spies everywhere. We're going to bust him. So, all right. Now we know. We'll get him on Sunday. After they lose. Wait till you hear the depression in Marcel Louis Jacques' voice on Sunday. Okay, that's going to be the key. You know, right? He's going to say, oh, no, I'm feeling a little sick or something is what he's going to say. But deep down inside, we know he's going to be depressed because the Bills got shellacked by the Dolphins. And he's just going to go, oh, my God. Damn, now I got to cover the team that's beating my favorite team. And see, that's the good thing now. That's when it turns good for us. Because then Marcel has to then cover the enemy that is better than his favorite team. How about that? So just in case. And maybe, who knows, maybe Marcel has a Tua doll or something and he's hitting it with some pins. You guys got to watch out for me there, all right? Keep an eye on Marcel Louis-Jacques, all right? He might be a double agent. Give the C-man his credentials, oh. Frankie says, first he was wearing a PSG jersey when he likes Chelsea. Now he's spying for the Bills Mafia. I wouldn't be surprised if he was telling all the Dolphins to say Buffalo after the Ravens game. Exactly. Exactly. Maybe Poupart and Shad will finally jump on the Tua bandwagon after Sunday. No, they're not allowed. They're not allowed to jump on the Tua bandwagon. I'm sorry. You're not allowed on the Tua bandwagon. If you weren't on the Tua bandwagon the 2 years prior to this, you're not on the Tua bandwagon at all. That's the way I look at it. I'm sorry. You can't flip-flop, dude. You know, you can't go John Kerry on me. All right? No. Can't do that. You can't be flip-flopping all the time. All right? So let's go. You got to have some conviction. It's what I just told you about this whole thing. At no point did I ever think that Tua can't throw. At no point did I ever think he can't play the game and he can't be at this level and all that stuff. I never thought that. That never crossed my mind. Do I worry about him getting injured? Yeah. That's the only concern I've ever had with him. And by the way, if he learns to get rid of the ball, then he won't get injured at all, practically. I mean, every quarterback can get injured. You know, it doesn't matter what quarterback you are, but if you're going to hang on to the ball a little too much and then take hits, unnecessary hits, then that's what increases the chances. But I was never, and that was my problem with the whole Tua thing the last 2 years. You're blaming him when he has no offensive line. You're blaming him when he has no running game. You're blaming him when he has no coaches. That was my problem throughout 2 years. You made it sound like he was the incompetent one out of the whole thing. And when he was the only competent one out of the whole thing, him and Waddle in the second year, obviously. You know, it was baffling to me. And what, all of a sudden now he can play? No, dude. No, he could always play. It's just finally he has a coach and he has offensive talent. Wow, what a concept. Holy shit. They gave him coaching and offensive talent and he's playing well? Shit, what a concept. So to me, what's going on here? Look, I'm not saying that I expected what he did in the fourth quarter and all that. I'm not saying that, but I did expect him to play very good football. I told you that he would take teams that were out of the playoffs last year into the playoffs. The Chargers would have made the playoffs last year with Tua, not with choking ass Herbert and all his stats and his beauty and his arm and his athleticism and running like a deer and all that. Please, give me a break. So that, to me, I've never wavered from all of this. And that's been my problem with the whole thing. And now we've got all the people. And what did they say? Well, I guess the coaching makes a difference. Oh, I guess having Tyreek Hill makes a difference. Of course it does. Take Jerry Rice away from Montana and he has less stats and maybe less championships. That's fine. That's how it goes. You take a Stallworth and Swan and Franco Harris away from the Steelers, and do they win all four titles? Maybe not. Had an incredible defense, but maybe they don't win the titles if you take away certain talents. That's why they're great teams. Sure, Popovich, does he have all the titles without Duncan and Ginobili and Parker and David Robinson? Probably not. I mean, that's kind of part of the game. But Duncan's not going to do it by himself. He's going to need Ginobili and Parker and all that. Same thing. Nobody does it by themselves. But we have this thing with this kid, like, like he has to carry the entire team when no quarterback carries the entire team. You have to have help. And then he's the only one that can throw an incomplete or a pass that falls short. So to me, that's what bothers me. And then now we've got all these people that, you know, they're trying to justify how they were thinking. And guess what? For me personally, there's no justification. You don't get a break here. You don't get on the bandwagon. You don't get a break here. You don't get to say, oh, he wasn't healthy. Oh, he now has some talent around him. Oh, he now has a coach. That tells me that you didn't understand football and you didn't understand the quarterback position. That's it. And just like everybody, like 95% of the Justin Herbert lovers, they're just arm queens. They're not really looking at a quarterback. They're just looking at a great athlete. And then they assume that that will be a great quarterback. And maybe Herbert becomes a great quarterback. Maybe. But he hasn't been a great quarterback at any point yet. Great quarterbacks win significant things. They make a difference. And last year, by the way, there was zero excuse for the Chargers to not be in the playoffs. There's every excuse for the Dolphins not to be in the playoffs, but there was zero excuses for the Chargers. Their team was more than good enough to be in the playoffs. So their quarterback and their coaches failed. Pretty simple. That team, the coaches, the quarterback, they failed. They should have been in the playoffs. You don't lose that Texans game. If you're really a playoff team, you don't lose the Texans game. But you lose the Texans game when, you know, you throw the pick six. EM Baller, thank you, sir. Kurt Warner calling out Tua haters using film. Yeah, you know, what can I tell you? And he breaks it down methodically. Like that pass that fell short when he said, look, man, Tua was standing wide. That's all. That's why. And the week before, that was a 50-yarder. The week before, he threw a 62-yarder in stride. So I know he can do it. It's just sometimes, you know, I mentioned this already earlier this week or last week or whatever it was. When you're these kind of quarterbacks, there's an adjustment you have to make to this game because the game is so much faster than college. And so that's what he's doing now. He's in the process of adjusting to it all and learning his anticipation with each of his receivers and their speed. And Tyreek Hill, you can go look at highlights in Kansas City over and over again. Mahomes underthrew him a ton. And he's got a gun. But the problem is, it's the timing thing. So you don't know if you're unleashing it too much or too little or whatever. And he's so explosive, unlike anybody else. It's not an easy thing to always throw it in stride. So the second one in this week was more in stride than the first one. That's how it goes. And it'll get better and better. But either way, you're still going to underthrow passes all the time. Every quarterback does in every single game. You know, it's normal because you're talking about a depth perception thing. It's not easy, you know. Dame the God says, but you had your doubts in every realistic fan. Nobody was sold. He was a franchise QB. And believe me, one game doesn't make you a great QB. I've supported Tua from day one, but we need consistency. Yes, exactly. I'm with you there. By the way, I was sold. He was a franchise quarterback. From the get-go. Go listen. It's all there. I can't hide it. It's all there. All the videos are there. All the audio is there. You can go check it out. I've never wavered on it, ever. Ever, that he's a franchise quarterback, that he can be an all-pro, that he can be a pro bowler, that he can take a team to a championship. Never wavered on that. At no point whatsoever. I've always said he can be a great quarterback. You got to have the pieces around you in order to be that. And of course, he hasn't arrived. But I can go on and have some fun and brag about him Because what the hell? If everybody else is going to say he sucks and he's a bust and he's got a noodle arm and all that. So if you're willing, if you're able to trash the kid and also end his career already, because how many of you ended his career already, right? Right? There's a whole bunch of you out there. Oh, no, yeah, he'll never be a quarterback. And you're looking pretty stupid now. You're either praying that he fails just so you can look good, because you know you're going to look incredibly stupid. Boy, you were way off. The guy's actually really good, because that's what everybody's going to tell you now. Damn, dude, you said Tua sucks. You said he couldn't play. You said he can't throw it downfield. You say he can't lead an explosive offense. You said it, right? Live with it now. So you don't, none of you get to tame us and tell us we can't be excited about Tua and we can't enjoy what he's doing out there. None of you get to do that, because all I heard for 2 years was a whole bunch of crap. So yeah, I'm tired of hearing the crap. Now you're going to have to deal with us. That's all. We had to deal with all you idiots talking shit, not knowing what the hell you're talking about. Well, now you're going to have to deal with us. Ian Baller says, Flores and Jesse Davis to Pittsburgh. O-line gets worse. Shocker. Jose Lucas says, the world is against us. I believe we beat Buffalo. They got a shot, man. They got a legitimate shot, man. Joey Malone says, why do people care what other people say? Yeah, no, you're right about that. But if you're in here saying it, which we had plenty, right? It's funny how all the Tua haters now, none of them are on the chat board. None of them are talking shit anymore. Because now you'd look really stupid talking crap. But that's the thing. That's kind of the discussion, you know? So we have people here that are haters. We have people that have come on the board, people watching right now. They were quick. They were quick to be on the chat board all the time. Noodle arm, too short, this, that. Where are they? It's just fun. Lizzie Finfan says, someone posted something so telling. All of his weapons from last year are either out of the league, haven't been active, or stinking it up. How did he win with that collection of stiffs? He overcame deadbeat coaches. That's how good that kid is. That's how good he is. He was one of the least sacked quarterbacks with a shitty line that you gave him, a shitty offensive coordinator, a shitty quarterbacks coach, a shitty offensive line coach, and yet he still posted a winning record. It's amazing. That's what I'm the guy that said his first year was fantastic. Go back. Go check it out. Go back to the first year. Go listen to my assessment of him in January of that year. Go watch those videos or listen to the audio downloads. You'll see. I said, I think he had a fantastic season because I realized what he was playing with, what he was surrounded with, and he didn't have the help, and yet he's fresh off a hip surgery. I thought he was phenomenal in less than a year of a hip removed, and he's playing in the NFL. I thought that was fantastic. Big O, what do you think of McDaniel's game plan will be this week against the Buffalo defense? It's a great question, Brandon. How the hell do I know what the hell he's going to do? But I think I'll take a stab at it. There's no doubt that the passing game is going to be a monster part of all of this. But I think you're going to see a lot of guys catching passes out of the backfield. That's one of the things that I would do. Now, their secondary is banged up, so you've got to unleash the Cheetah and Waddle on them. Oh, by the way, you see what happened with X, right? He's got a groin injury. So now we know what was going on, why he was giving Duvernay all that space. It was weird. It was weird, right? We all said it after. It was like, man, that was odd. When I saw X lining up 10 yards away from a receiver. And I know zone is zone, but that's X. He doesn't need to be 10 yards from anybody. And even he got Duvernay space. Now we found out that he has a little bit of a groin injury, and hopefully it's not serious. But that's not good going into this game, because you got a pretty special player in Stephon Diggs. You can't have people that are not experienced going up against Stephon Diggs. Experienced people will have a problem with Stephon Diggs. X will have a problem healthy against Stephon Diggs, because Stephon Diggs is a great player, you know, and he'll get the best of anybody, even X. Anybody, it doesn't matter if you're Ramsey or X, or I don't care who you are in this league, guys like that will get the best of you. But if you're not healthy, that's the one thing that I am concerned about with X. I hope it's not that serious, and hopefully they can tweak it and get him back on track, and hopefully it's not a serious pull. You know, take it easy on him throughout the week and get him prepared. 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. By the way, Cutter's Edge is a fantastic company. And I know, because I'm living it, I'm experiencing it. I walk into my house and it is just a pleasure to see the landscaping and how it has completely changed the look of our home. It's improved the value also drastically. Our backyard is just absolutely awesome. When I fix that wall there, which it's coming soon, we'll get some privacy. But man, I got to tell you, it is beautiful, absolutely beautiful to have a lawn that is just gorgeous. And it creates, you know, when I walk into my backyard now, it's like an oasis. And it's just a fun place to hang out now with the family. Well, I need the wall closed so I can get the privacy. But once we get that, you know, I got a spot for the barbecue. The dogs now can, like I told you, the artificial turf is like the greatest invention out there for pets. I'm telling you, if you own dogs, you're going to love it. No more bringing dirt into the house. We've got several dogs, and, you know, dogs necessarily don't do the smartest things in the world sometimes. And, you know, some of them might even eat some grass or something. You're like, no, stop, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, guess what? With the artificial turf, no more eating grass. And everything is so easy to manage and maintain. And you're never cutting grass again. So you're also saving a lot of money in the long term. You don't have to water the grass also. So you're saving a lot of money in the long term and less work, because, again, nobody's bringing dirt in. Man, Maiden, she was a killer, man, kicking up dirt all over the place after she goes, and then she walks in and leaving stains all over. My wife is absolutely losing it. They are the total landscape solution. They also do lawn landscaping maintenance for medium to large HOAs, condominiums, corporate parks, and large commercial building complexes. They do it in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. They got nearly 70 trucks or something like that. It's a ginormous company. Landscape lighting for pathways. They do it all, man. Basic LED lights to color-changing technology, bringing your landscape to life, baby. They do it all. And if, you know, we're in hurricane season still, or listen, you need to trim those trees and they're getting close to power lines, or they're around your roof and things like that, call professionals. Call insured professionals. CuttersEdgePro.com, fully licensed and insured. So if anybody gets injured in, you know, working in your home, they are licensed and insured. Nothing will happen to you. If you hire somebody that isn't fully insured, they can sue you if they get hurt on your property. So call the great people at CuttersEdgePro.com, 954-472-0622. That's 954-472-0622. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here in the world of sports to talk about? Oh, I thought this was actually pretty cool. I was reading Barry Jackson's article, and he had a an article talking a little bit about some of the people that have either, you know, backed up Tua or been against Tua or those kind of things. And so he had Pioli. And in that article, he also had the one of Sean Payton saying that he was wrong and all that, which, you know, just Payton, you're a joke, dude. You're a joke. I'm glad you're not here. I'm really glad that you're not here. Anyway, so Pioli was who actually has been a pro Tua guy. And so he explains why he's been a pro Tua guy after his win against Baltimore. He goes, it's about his decision making, maturity, and physical on the field. It's about it's about his decision making, maturity, and physically on the field. It's about his accuracy, Pioli said. He's aware of his strengths and limitations. What he does is he finds what works around for the spaces and places that he has limitations. To me, that's a player that has true confidence. He is confident without being arrogant. His teammates not only like him, they respect him and respond to him. They respond to his competitiveness. When I look at Tua, he's one of those players I absolutely fall in love with because I love guys with the right makeup that are good teammates. He's the type of player we want to represent the NFL and what's good about it. He's a winner. He's selfless. He's authentic, and he shows it. His off-the-field kindness we see with all the things he does, that's not the marketing campaign. He's the kind of guy who I really believe can represent the National Football League in a good way. I love Tua. What I hope he does is continue to be consistent and do this every single week. That's exactly what I see, what I've seen from the get-go. Why isn't it? Why is it so hard? Right? Why is it so hard to see that you got one hell of a human being quarterbacking your team? A guy that's also a hell of a player. A guy that people will gravitate to. You know, it just, so many just false narratives out there. I've never seen this. Never seen it, man. It's the weirdest thing. I got to tell you. All right. 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the Welt and Realm text line, that's 855-912-1056. You can also reach out to us on Twitter. That's at Big O Show. And we thank you, whether you're watching on the Big O Radio Show platform or you're watching on our Big O Show Cuts channel. Because I see we've got several people over on the Cuts channel also watching. Andy Jackson says, F the haters. On the Welton Realm text line, it's funny that we're breaking down our fifth overall. Okay, what can help him develop? Just my opinion, if Tua was a late pick like Montana, then it would be more understanding on his development. It's just too hard to look past that. Hey-o. Can I ask, why is it okay for you to change your mind on Flo, but other people can't change their minds on Tua? Well, it's a whole different ballgame there, right? Because you're saying that he can't play the game when you watch them play the game. We've never watched Flo coach. So he was an elite player. All of a sudden, he's no longer an elite player. All of a sudden, he can't throw. When you saw it in Alabama, he can throw. That's what I'm talking. That's the frustrating part about all of this. It's a whole different ballgame. When you've never seen somebody and you don't know anything about them in a completely new environment, then you don't know. That's it. And by the way, we all end up, except for Philbin, I think. That was the only coach that I never gave a chance from the get-go, because I knew a lot of people in the Green Bay Packers building, and they were like, that's not the guy you hire. Like, the Packers were telling me that. Okay. All right. I had several people still. I think I still have two left in there, but I had like several people in the Packers organization at that time. I'm talking like 8 or 9 people I knew in that organization. And they were all like, what? Like, I, you know, Tom Clements, maybe, because, you know, he's a little arrogant and all that. He's kind of a little edgy, but at least I would have given Clements the chance, because he's the one that develops quarterbacks, not Joe Philbin. And it's like, I, man, the things that they told me in Green Bay, I was like, huh, what, huh? And they were all right. So that's the only one. But all the new coaches, I've given them a chance the first year. I gave Gase a chance. I gave Sperano a chance. Cam Cameron, I gave him about a couple weeks. You know, we didn't give Cam Cameron much. But that's my problem with the whole Tua thing. Okay. He's a baller. He wins the Heisman. He wins the national championship, this and that. And so then now you're also going to now, oh, well, he can't play now. All of a sudden. Huh? He's too short. Huh? Dude, we had people last week that just found out that short quarterbacks have a hard time seeing over the line in the NFL. It's been like that for 100 years. Maybe not 100, maybe 70 or 60. But we have people. So, you know, that's... The problem is a lack of common sense. So, yeah, that's why I have a problem with it, and that's why it's different. Now I know Burrow is the real deal, but once again, Tua proves he's made of different stuff. Burrow has a couple of rough weeks, probably gets crap on his social media accounts, and suddenly he deleted them. Can't handle the negativity. Our boy never deleted anything through it all. Really, I did not know that Burrow deleted his account. Wow. Wow. Okay. And the gentleman just got back and said, that's fair on changing your mind. I don't mind reassessing things. I don't. I just have a problem with the obvious. You know, like all of a sudden he forgot to play. All of a sudden he's not elite. All of a sudden he can't throw deep. What did you watch at Alabama? I tried for 2 years to tell the naysayers, like, dude, he has no coaching. He has no talent. How many times did I say on this show that Tua must have walked in here and said, my God, in Alabama, I had better coaching and better talent. This is what I'm dealing with? How many times do you think he said that in the 2 years before Mike McDaniel? Dealing with Flo and the inept shit that went on there. He must have said that 100 times. Never tell us. Hell, he probably never even mentioned it to his family or his wife. He probably kept it just to himself, like inside, like, I can't believe this. Yeah. Tua is, this is what you want, bro. Never flinched with the Watson stuff. Nothing. The guy is ice. Ice all the time. And I don't know. How about this one? You remember? Oh, he can't handle Flo. He played for Saban, dude. And he tells you that his dad is worse than Saban. But narratives. Oh, all of a sudden, Flo's too tough for him. No, man. Flo's an asshole. Flo's vindictive. Let's see what else. That argument by Marcel that Tua had the same amount of pressure than Herbert being behind is just ridiculous. Herbert can do no wrong, and he's given a free pass regardless of fourth quarter interceptions. Very true. Tua has had a world of pressure on him for 3 years now, and you don't think going down 21-2 picks, he wasn't in his head somewhat dreading that post-game pressure and what the subsequent days would bring onto him if he had lost? With all that, he crushed the hearts of Ravens fans and beat them down with all that pressure on him, his family, his fans, everything, and he won. Even now, they still put pressure on him to do it again after 6 touchdowns. Damn it. That is, sir, you didn't put a name, but I just want you to know that this is one of the greatest texts ever received. And let me thank him for that. That is just exceptional. Huh? And all of it true, and all of it a mountain that was building because Herbert and Burrow and Jay and what's it called? Hurts and all these quarterbacks taken the last 2 or 3 years, none of them have the pressure of Tua. None of them have been crucified like Tua nationally, and he is so right. You're down by 21. You've thrown the two interceptions. You know that what the press conference, the TV shows, what would they have done to Tua for the next day, for this whole week? Teddy Bridgewater would have had to start, and Skyler, and cut Tua, and he's useless, and all that. And the guy was like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. Great text, sir. That is just absolutely fantastic. God, I loved it. That was so, so good. Talk about that. That's it right there, baby. That's putting it all in the perfect context. GM Hindsight says, are people listening to the show? Tua is not behind in his development. He played behind a historically bad line, bad coaching, and receiving core, whose best option was Devontae Parker with one catch so far this season. Yep. Yep. Ronald says, did you see Tua with the ice in his veins gesture after the last touchdown Sunday? Yep, because that's who he is. I said it after the post game when somebody asked him about pressure, and it's like, dude, this guy's not about that. You know, he's not the guy that's going to fold. That's not who he is. And that's why I'm saying that. Just leave Chris Greer and Reggie McKenzie and Marvin Allen alone. Stop meddling. Now, they screwed up because they thought they had the right coach in Flo, and they ended up hiring, you know, a guy that was just incompetent and, my Lord, evil. Because the people that hire you, and now you want to backstab them like he did to Belichick? I mean, Flo's a real piece of work, dude. Say whatever you want about Belichick, but if you're Flo, you owe your career to Belichick, and you expose his texts for your failures and your frustrations, and your race-baiting crap, because we all know that, yeah, there's a race issue in the NFL, but it wasn't in the Dolphins where you were at, idiot. So why see, that's what I hate. I don't like the women that scream rape or whatever just to gold dig. I don't like people that use race when it's not race. You know, when it's a real crime and a real action that happens, then let's expose it. But let's not also cry wolf when it isn't wolf, and then we hurt the people that are truly suffering from racism. We truly hurt the women that are being abused because now we don't believe them because of all the lies and all the people that are. And look, I know that there's a race issue in the NFL in hiring and all of that, but it has nothing to do with the Dolphins, dude. Your situation from the Dolphins is your incompetence, dude. Look in the mirror, Brian Flores. Don't use it as an excuse anywhere else. And that's where I have a problem with all of that. So, perfect text. This guy, you know, facing everything, not flinching whatsoever. I love it. Brian Flores got that Honduran culture thing going. I don't know what that means. Jonathan Dill, Flo was a cancer in the organization and in the locker room, and what he did was basically ruin Tua's development for his first 2 years. Yeah. Well, Jonathan, let's explain something also. Let's explain the business side of it and the problem that I hate about all of this. His incompetence, okay? And luckily these guys were able to get rid of him and move on and get Mike McDaniel, and they can continue to build their team. But his incompetence really set the team back. Not just Tua, because you should have been doing some of this last year already and improving the team. And they probably wanted to do it, but he probably stopped them. Hell, he forced them to get rid of some of the free agents that they had. Like Flowers, they needed that guy on the line, And, oh, no, let's get rid of the experience, the only experience we have on the line. Like, huh, really? For a young quarterback? What? Huh? You know, so you're talking about a situation that you also put the team behind the eight ball now in the front office. That's why they have to fast track this, because they have to prove to themselves, as much as I believe in Tua, clearly Reggie McKenzie and Marvin Allen and Chris Greer believe in Tua also, but they can't give him the big contract yet because they got to get the production out of it to justify the contract, right? So now you've got to fast track it, and it's got to happen in this next 2 years. And you and what you really would like is to have had last year and these 2 years to try to make a run for a Super Bowl before you have to pay Tua, because it becomes that much harder to build a Super Bowl caliber team once you've got to pay your franchise quarterback. So not only did he hurt the development of Tua, he also hurt the development of the franchise moving forward. Because he had to understand that once you draft a young quarterback at a high pick, you are now fast-tracking your team, and you must do everything possible to try to win a championship before you've got to pay him. Because the salaries are so crazy now that you're going to have to give your quarterback. He's going to make 40-plus million. If he balls out in the next 2 years, he will make 40-plus, 45, $50 million. And he's going to take up a large chunk of your cap. So Flores basically, I would say, set the team back 1 year. Because the first year, the rookie year, doesn't really count. He's still kind of trying to get healthy and acclimated and all that. But last year was a real opportunity lost. Now, maybe, hey, listen, in the end, everything happens for a reason, right? Because last year, you're not able to get Tyreek, and probably not Mike McDaniel. So maybe you had to go through hell before you get to heaven, as the rock song would say. And maybe this is all for the best. But I'm happy where they're at right now. I'm happy the way they've started. And, you know, it's just one of those things that hopefully they'll overcome all of this. G Firm says, I'm black and I agree with you. Glad he's gone. Yeah, man. You know, you hurt a cause by using false accusations. You know, it doesn't help. We have a shit ton of racism out there. It doesn't help if you make everything about race, because everything is not about race. So let's expose the stinking racists. But don't overplay the hand, because then that hurts the cause. And that's every cause out there. Doesn't matter what it is. Every one of them. We got to expose the right people, not the wrong people. Okay? Stephen Ross is a goofball. He's an idiot. I get it. He's more of a detriment to us than to the NFL. Okay? Seriously, he hurts his team more. He helps the NFL and the AFC East more than he helps us. Okay? Let's just be honest here. But he's not racist. That organization, there's nothing racist about that organization. There is so much diversity in that organization. It is awesome. Okay? That organization reflects our community in our world. It's impressive. Right? So that they have women everywhere, and they have minorities everywhere in that organization, top to bottom. It's a phenomenal mix of our community in that organization. So that I'll defend the Dolphins to the end on that one. I can't defend Stephen Ross's actions. Many of his actions, I can't defend any of them, and I never will. Okay? As a long-time Dolphins fan, that guy pisses me off on a consistent basis with his lack of common sense. Let's just put it that way. Miami can win 12 to 13 games, and Tua haters will complain about the games Miami lost. Don't waste your time, oh. That is very true. Jamie says, Big O, I also blame part of the tampering on Flores because since Tua didn't show his potential, the dumb owners panicked and did their stupid behind-the-scenes moves. Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of, it reminds me of the people that are panicking over the last year here. And, yeah, the economy is bad and, you know, a lot of things going on worldwide, but they've kind of dumped their Bitcoin and they listen to others. And then, you know, it's just one of those where you're listening to the misinformation and you're going to have a lot of regrets in the end. And I feel terrible for those people because they fell for the FUD and they might have bought Bitcoin at 35 or 45 or 55 and they're selling it at 32 and 25 and 18 and panicking and taking huge losses when they don't have to. All they got to do is be patient. Be patient. Don't listen to the FUD. In fact, buy more, lower your overall price. And when it blows up, which it will, you'll see. Check out the top five QBs this year throwing in tight coverage and see which has the most throws. And second, check out the top five rating for QBs under pressure. The busted coverage narrative is a joke. Yeah. His fourth quarter numbers are absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Oh, is it true Flores wanted Greer's job? Yes, bro. Yeah. Un traicionero is what we call him in Spanish. He's, you know, he's a double crosser. Yeah, dude. He was double crossing those guys. Those guys brought him in. Dude, he screwed Belichick over. Okay? I mean, they knew each other, but they weren't as, you can't imagine that Greer and Flo were as tight as Flo was with Belichick. Belichick made his career. And he rewards him by exposing his texts. That's disgusting, dude. You rat out your boy just for that? That's not good, man. That's not good. You don't do that. Big O short-term thinkers are in the majority in our current world. Yes, they are, Brett. Amen. And that goes for Tua and crypto. You are right, Brett. I like that analogy. Very good. Steve Rose says, Sam Madison told the Herald he's not worried about X playing and said it's more about rest. Good. I mean, he's not going to tell you he's worried anyways, even if there is something to worry about. So let's use some common sense. You're not going to tell the Herald, oh, yeah, no, I'm really concerned. You know, X is hobbling a little bit. Not sure if he's going to be ready for Sunday. Boom. Send it out to the Bills. They'll read it. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to tell you, nah, he's fine. But you watch the film. You watch the game and you tell me. You tell me, are you convinced rest is going to help? I hope it does. But growing injuries? It's tough. Big O, what is your prediction for the Bills game? You got to listen tomorrow. Yeah. You got to listen tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have a full breakdown. We'll have a pick. We'll pick it against the number like we did last week and won. It went down to 6 again. It was at 6.5. So it's at 6 now. So some money came in on the Dolphins. Interesting. Miami Breaker says, Ingold is a gift on the passing game. His blocks and pass catching, solid, man. What a pickup. Yeah. I miss fullbacks. I love fullbacks, man. I always have. I always thought there was a place, and I'm an old school guy. So I grew up with the fullback being a part of the offense. And I grew up with watching the fullback evolve to not just being a blocking dummy, but also being a pass catcher, being part of your offense, and watching him make some blocks downfield and run fools over. Man, that's awesome. That is awesome. Robert Hunt got a dude in the game, and he just put him on his ass. That was great. Something else I wanted to talk about. I'm glad you brought this up because it reminded me of something that I have the note here. Okay. For years, right? What have the Ravens done to the Dolphins? Dominated, right? Physically. not only did they lose, but us as Dolphin fans and Dolphin Nation, we walked away going, shit, man, they kicked our ass again. God, I hate those guys. They're always kicking our ass, right? Duvernay, concussion. Lamar Jackson, elbow injury. Miami turned it up in the fourth quarter, and they became the ones that started pushing people around. Hunt knocking people. You got the fullback, Ingold, knocking the crap out of people all over the place. Miami imposed its will. So Miami not only beat them last year, but then this year came back from a 21-point deficit. And in the process, sent a physical message to the Ravens that you no longer are the bully on the block. We got your number. And guess what? Here's a punch in the face to go along with it. So you got their quarterback walking away with an elbow injury. He peed in his pants in the fourth quarter, could only come up with 3 points. Miami pushed them around, knocked out the receiver that was hurting them. Boy, they put the Malachi crunch on his ass. That was beautiful. So Miami sent a message also on Sunday. Not only is Tua the real deal, not only is the offense the real deal, not only is Mike McDaniel the real deal, but if you want to get into a little fist fight, we're ready for you. That was the message sent by the Miami Dolphins. Great job. Great job, because the physical imprint was all over that game. And I think that was as important as the comeback, as Tua's performance, as the win, was the message that you sent the Baltimore Ravens that, hey guys, remember how you used to push around Miami and all that? No more. And Ravens fans, you might want to think about making reservations coming to Miami, because you're wasting your time now. You're going to get your ass kicked from here on out. We got your number. You bring a Mickey Mouse quarterback in there. No, you bring a Mickey Mouse. He is a Mickey Mouse quarterback because he's a great athlete trying to play quarterback. So to me, that was the other thing that I wanted to mention. Great job by the Miami Dolphins sending the physical message to the Baltimore Ravens. And guess what, folks? It's time to send that physical message to the Buffalo Bills, because the other bully is coming to town. And you've been bullied by that one for a while now, just like you've been bullied by the Ravens for a while now. It is time to send the message to the Buffalo Bills. No more. No more. All right? Anybody watch, Jim Belushi and the Principal? No more! No more! He's the principal, man. You'll never get another principal reference ever on any show ever, whatsoever. But what can I tell you? We squeezed it in. All right. That's it. We're done. We'll be back in 3 hours. We love you all out there. We'll be at Hialeah Park. It'll be a little happy hour time at Hialeah Park, 3 o'clock. Y'all be good out there. Much love. Thanks to Sean Stanley mastering this program. We'll see you later. We'll see you in 3 hours. Be good.